afterwards. We're in the middle of the Shiras Chana. We are going around this for the second time with a couple of the Mefarshim inside. So let's say from the beginning of the Perek and run through to Pasuk Gimel, which is where we're up to. But Perek Beis, yeah. And she said, "Alas, to be Hashem, my heart rejoices in God. My horn has been uplifted in God. My mouth has been opened wide against my enemies, because I rejoiced in your salvation. There's no one holy like God, because there is no other than you. There is no rock of salvation other than our God." Okay, this is where we're up to. Do not speak of the great length very, very loftily. Because then lies will come out of your mouths. Because then you have to be very careful, because God knows what's going on inside in your mind. He is aware of all the pathways which you follow. Now, we were seeing a few Mefarshim here, pasuk by pasuk. Here, first the Targum. On the Nebuchadnezzar, Malko the Bavel, Isnavias Bamaras, on the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, she prophesied and she said, "Atun Kazdoi, you the Kazdoim, the Babylonians, the Chalamai, and all the nations that see the Mishmar of Israel, and all nations which eventually rule over the Jews, Losis Gulam Alala, do not to take upon yourself to speak rather von loftily. Loifkun Gudufim be Pumchon, do not blaspheme. Because God knows everything, and on all your deeds, may say Dine is going to bring judgment. He is indeed upon you going to repay the evil of your deeds, of your liabilities." Now let's see the Gra here. The Gra says, "Also Tarbu Tzadabu Gavah Gavah Neged Esav Shasa Abba Rol Yisrael." He was supposed to correspond to Esav, who committed four evils to Klal Yisrael. "Aleph Shabalu Refeed Him," once when they came to feed him, "Yadva Yavah Amalek," when Amalek came and attacked them. "Beis Acham Aradim," after Aradim, "Vayir Amalek Kiva Yekum," and Amalek came down and smote them. "Gimel B'shas Chum Beis HaMikdash Dal B'shas Gog U'Magog." In the future, "Al tarbu neged refidim," do not do all these things that corresponds to refidim. "Shekaras hamilos," when the Amalekites cut off the bris milos of Klai Yisrael v'zara klapi mal and threw them up towards the sky. "V'chireif and blasphemes," "zo al tarbu larshia," do not be evil like them. Do not be so evil. "Tadabru," do not speak, "neged ve'apilu," when it says that they went up the hill, "sh'aznis gabru al-sonein she'Yisrael," that then they fought and they overcome the Jews who went up the hill after the Meraglim to try and overcome the decree of 4 years in the desert. "Gvoha," the word "gvo," "neged ha'chorban," corresponds to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That then their hand overcame the enemies of Klai Yisrael, and that's a euphemism, the Goyim overcame the Jews. It says, that corresponds to Gog Magog. So all these things are repudiations of Esav for all the things that Esav did wrong to us. What does that correspond to? It says that the Canaanite king of Arad came fought against the Jews in the desert. Like it says that they tried to trick the Jews. They went as dressed as Canaanim, but they spoke as Amalekites. That's what it means. What does that mean? Shenet kumiyam, words which were uplifted from their proper place, vein royal lahem lefim avushem, and do not fit according to their clothing. Kikel deos Hashem, God knows everything, all the secrets, neged nachli arnon, where the plishtim, where the Moabites and Ammonites hid in caves in order to attack the Jews. Veloni tzkunu alilos ksib aleph, v'kai b'vav, it's written with an aleph, and read with a vav, v'kai bilam, and kai responds to bilam. Shloni tzkunu alilos, there did not come into being the treachery or the plans, shorot tzakas, so which you want to curse the Jews. Veloni tzkunu alilos, rather, to klai, to kushbohu, where the pathways were, Kodesh Baruch Hu rather planned the contents of the pathways, Shabbat Kol Pirchon, that Bilam was forced to bless the Jewish people. Okay, Pasuk Dalet, Keshes Giborim Chatim, the bows and arrows of the strong people have been bent or broken, V'nichsholim, and those who have stumbled, Ozu Chayil, have found newfound strength. says the Targum, Amalkus Mogdon on the kingship of the kingdom of Macedonia is now the Aschana prophecy here. Vam Rashi, she said, Kashtas the Giboroi de Mogdonoi, the repose of the Macedonian warriors, Yitabu will be broken. With the Beis Chashmonoi and the Hasmoneans, the Abu Chaloshin, who are weak, is Abdalon Nisin Ugvura, many miracles will befall them. So again, here he was stressing, according to the Targum, miracles which had happened according to Kleiso, both in the past and in the future. The Gra here learned it's going on in the past still. Dalad Keshes Giborim Chasim, Kayach Sichon Vogos and Sichon Vog, Shame HaGiborim Shekulam, were the strongest ones who were destroyed by Kleiso in the desert. Nisholim also Chayah, those who stumbled, found new strength. Kayah Milchemeth region is going on the war against Midian. Avshim Nechshu, even though they stumbled, also Chayah, they were able to then regroup. Beyudbeis Elam Yisrael with 212,000 Jews at the end of the parish of Sefer by Midbar, Vargo with some, and they killed the Midianites. Okay? Pasuk Hey. Sveim Balechem Nishbaru. Those who were satiated with bread were broken. Revim chadelu, and those who are famished, the hunger, on the other hand, ceased. Adakaroy adoshiva, until a woman who was barren had seven children. For Rabbas Banim, and she who had previously many children, umlala, was now desolate. And there's a Rashi here which says, I'm not going to read it inside, but Rashi says that we'll see later in the parak that Chana had five children. And Penina had 10 children previously. So as each child was born to Chana, two of Penina's children died. Until Chana was pregnant with the fifth one, so Penina said, "Oy vey, I'm going to lose my last two kids." So she went to Penina Chana and said, "Please have Rachmanas on me, daven for me." And Chana davened, and the last two children did not die. So in any event, she was kind of desolate, though, because losing 8 kids is horrible enough. And the problem is then, how do you get 7 kids for Chana if Chana only had 5, right? It says Akaroyo da Shiva. So some people take 7 not literally, that she wasn't really 7 kids, but she had she wasn't talking about herself, but she was saying theoretically there should be 7 kids. Other people say it's considered like 7 kids because there are 5 of her own, plus the 2 she saved, the Penina, right? She left Penina's 2 alive, so that would be as if she had 7 kids. And other people, some Chazal say that this includes grandchildren, and some say that Shiva in Gematria, 7 in Gematria is Shmua. I didn't check it out. But in any event, that's what the Rashi brings down. Let's see the Targum here. Avanoid Haman on the children of Haman. Is Navi Ashi prophesied by Amra and Vamarasu, she said, Tabu Svin Balachma. The children of Haman were satiated with bread. The gone, and they were proud of Israel with their riches. The Sagim Bimona, and they had much, much money. Is Maskenu. They became poor. Tavu Asra, they went out to hire themselves then as workers. Vilchayim was able to get bread and food. Pumhon, rather the food of their mouths. Mordechai and Esther, Tavu Chashichin. Mordechai and Esther, who were dark, umiskalin, and poor, Asoru, they became rich. Vistasiu, and they were uplifted. Yasmas Karuson, from their poverty, and they return to be b'nechorin, to be free, obviously with the second building of Yerushalayim. Ken Yerushalayim dahava, so Yerushalayim that was ki'itasakara, like a barren woman. Asida the Tismali eventually will become full again, min gavosa, from the nation which comes back from the Golus, the Rome, and from Rome, the Maya, Sagia, Mamaya, and many nations, I guess, will come, Yisufa, Mashiasa, I misread it so badly. Excuse me. The Rome de Malia, Rome, which was so mightily and perfectly built, Sage de Malia, Sage Mamaya, which is full of many nations. Yusufu Mashiosa, all of its many camps will go away from it. Tizde and Rome will be desolate, Vitecharub, and destroyed. Okay, so this could bear drawing a comparison between Yerushalayim and Rome in terms of the one who had children, the one which didn't have children. And here also the Gra although I'm not going to read inside because you get the idea, the Gra, rather than interpreting on the future, interprets it on the past, on Nisim which occurred to Klai Yisrael previously, on the time of Dvora year specifically, and she spares that all the barren women will eventually be healed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go on to Pasuk of Zvav. Hashem emisum chaye, Hashem smites, and he then gives life again. Morit sho'ol v'yol, he puts people down into the grave, and then he brings them up again. And here the Targum says, calling Ulink Rasa, all these mighty wonders that Hashem come from Hashem, du shalit, he has the reign, va'am on this world, may mis va'amar achoy, he puts people to death, but then he brings them back to life. Umachis l'sha'ol, he puts people down into the grave, va'afasid la'asoka, but eventually bring them back chayoma, which is pashup shat in the psukim. And the rest of the, well, we'll see the rest of the psukim. There's an important radak here. The radak here is a long radak, which I have here in a box, says that the datena is a pasuk for Ashira. Our opinion, this pasuk and this shira is kula and the old shira. Ki amra chana kol yani olam. Chana to be about all matters in this world. Tzarchem bnei adam and the all needs of people that clean beyond a body's birth. They contingent on God's will. Rabbitzonu mashkiach, and with His will, He will pay attention with clothing, either to the larger detail, larger generalities, or protein or the specific details. Vosa b'im kirtoni, does as He pleases. Feeling the royal of Ne'odim, and even looks to people, she has selam, dover, she'en, or ritzoin, and v'cheftzom, that's something which occurred, which is not the way they wanted. Yeshlem, lispalele, love, the shadam, to Hashem, b'chol, nashom, v'sol, of the soul. Kamosha, sisi, any like I, Chana did, v'u yitain lechem b'akashoschem, and b'akashoritzonam, yitain lechem b'akashosam, ritzonam, he'll fulfill their need and their desire, v'chol dover, she'echeftzom, and tzokam, anything they wanted or needed, ki ashkachoso, b'tachtoni, kamosha, b'elyonim. Because Baruch Hu pays attention to the lower regions like the higher regions. In other words, if somebody davens, Hashem answers. And that's what she's trying to stress in the entire Shira. Not like we saw in the Targum, all sorts of allusions to different miracles throughout Jewish histories, or the Gra for that matter. But rather, she's saying that Chana, the Radak is saying, that Chana is expressing the thought that with Tefillah, there's divine providence, and anybody can change whatever Xeros against them. Now, it's probably not as simple as Chana makes it out to be, but obviously that's what Chana is trying to impress on Klai Yisrael. You guys, don't give up hope. Because you can always change that destiny which you have and improve yourself. I was destined to be barren. God turned me around and made me have kids, etc., etc. Okay, and he's saying that this is not just true about individuals, the Radak says, but rather about Klai Yisrael as a whole. Radak says a couple of interesting things on Pasuk Vav. He says that when it says Hashem puts people to death and brings them back to life, he says in one place that this alludes to anguish and difficulty which tzaddikim have, and then they're brought back and restored to a great portion of profit and of easiness. And it could also refer to the Olam Haba, that in Olam Haba there's punishment first in the grave, and then afterwards there's the reward of the world to come. Let's go to the pasuk Zayin. Hashem orishu ma'ashir. Hashem causes people to become poor and then gives them riches. Ma'ashpil, pushes people down. Aparomim, and uplifts them as well. Again, here the Targum is pretty much in line with Pasha Pshat. The Gra, in line with what he says before, explains that all these things. First, he explains the pasuk before about has to do with Yeshua and Yavin, and this pasuk has to do with Midian. Every pasuk has to do with some event in Jewish history. Pasuk Ches, Mekim Yafarada, Hashem uplifts those who are low from their lowness up high. Me'ashpos Yorim Evyom, from the dirt up high. Still not translating properly. Mekim Yafarada, God uplifts the poor people from the dirt. Me'ashpos, from the garbage heaps, Yorim Evyom, will pick up even the lower, poorer people. Lashivin Nidivim, to put them together with the Gvirim. V'kisei Yafarada Yanchim, and he'll give them a throne of glory. Ki Lashem Utsuki Eretz, because Hashem has the foundations of the land. And then he spread the rest of the world. So the Radak says, Mitzuki Eretz are the tzaddikim, because they are the pillars of the world. Or it could be that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is the pillars of the world. Regardless, if an individual does things the right way, so now Kosh Baruch Hu will put him back in a proper place, despite whatever lowness he experienced previously. Evian is lower, yeah. Evian is even poorer. Yes. The Targum says the Mitzuke Eretz are Gehenim L'Rishaya, and they get Gehenim, the evil people, and the Tzadikaya get the entire world, everything else besides Gehenim. And the Magra also here again follows his previous pshat that this is going on Shimshon and on Shmuel and on Shaul and David. He explains the pasuk is going on very, 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 very different miracles in Jewish history. Pasuk Tes, Raglei Chasidav Yishmor, God watches the footfalls of those who are his Chasidim. Rishoyim b'choshech idamu, the Rishoyim will be silent in the darkness. Ki lo b'kochi barish, because a person's strength is not his power. Let's see the Targum here. Uvyasav doi tzadikayo, the body of his slaves, the tzadikim, yisarbeke yumarmi gehenim, he'll uplift them from gehenim, ushiyaya begehenim bechashecha, and the rishoyim in the gehenim in darkness, yizdenu will be judged, lo daare lo mandi ispe chela zakai liom dina, in order to express the thought that not those who have strength are meritorious in the world to come, but rather those who are tzaddikim. So I want to point out something here. The Reb Tzadok asks the kasha. He says that, not here, not concerning this Targum, but the Targum says here that Gehenim is dark. Makes sense? What's in Gehenim? Fire. Is fire dark?
Dark fire, black fire. It's black light.
Anyway, you got the kasha?
Yeah.
The kasha is fire is light, and the Targum is saying that Gehenim is dark. So Reb Tzadok says it's not a kasha. For Goyim, Gehenim is dark. Because they cannot deal with the concept of Hashem Elohim. For a Jew, it's light. It's something which he had, which he embarrassed, he didn't realize during his lifetime, and that's why it's a Gehenim for him, because of the shame. But it's light. Because when it says, the Chazal say, when Jews get down to Gehenim, they see the truth. And they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yofe Danto, it's good that you put me down here, you're right. It sort of brings that one of the Rebbes once said that, what do we have to be afraid of death? Either I'll go to Shemaim, or I'll go to Gehenim. In Gehenim, what am I going to do? I'm going to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right, and everything he did was true. There's no greater Hanoah than that. So no matter where he goes, he'll be fine. So in any event, for the Rishoyim, it's Takeh Choshech, because they don't want to admit this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Elohim. That's negative, that goes against their Metzius, because the Metzius of a Goy is to be distinct from God. But for a Jew, Gehenim is a little place of light. It's true, it's a light which has to cleanse. It causes a person shame, but it's a light. And that's why for him, Gehenim is not so bad. The Rabbah also makes the point here that Hasidim are under constant Hashgacha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu affords the capacity to tzaddikim to be able to uplift themselves and do what's proper for them. He constantly constantly pays attention to what's necessary for them to do their avodas Hashem. Finally, the last pasuk in the Shira, the Gra explains it's not about going miracles in the past, he's already moved to the future, but he says going referring here to Golos Bavel and to Golos Madai, to Golos Yavan. Finally, we have Hashem Yichasam Yerivav, Hashem that will be broken, those who argue upon him. Olav Hashemayim Yareim, upon him in the Shemayim, they will bring down lots of noise. Hashem Yodin Avsirat, Hashem will judge the most distant parts of the land. V'yitein Osam HaKon, give strength to his king. V'yorim Kerem Shchon, uplift the horn, the glory of his Mashiach. And here the Targum says, Hashem Yisbar Ba'alei Dvava, Hashem will break his enemies, the Kaimun La'avosha La'amei, who will arise to embarrass the nation. Aliyom Yishmaya B'kol Ram Yashkev, God will gaze upon them with a loud voice from Shemayim. Yabei Puranus, and afflict them, Mimagog and Mashriyas Amamin Chatufin, Gog and Magog, and all the nations which will come to wage war against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against Klal Yisrael in the ultimate future. And here too the Gra explains everything has to do here with the ultimate redemption, Gog and Magog, and about the days of Gog, when we'll be redeemed from Edom, and it says Malko is Mashiach ben Yosef. Because we know Mashiach ben Yosef is a political leader. And Mashicho, that's Mashiach ben David, because he's the ultimate Mashuach, the one who's anointed in order to bring Klal Yisrael back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gro is very big, and I'm sure if we looked at the expanded parish of the Gro, which I don't have, didn't photocopy for tonight, you'd see much more about Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, because the Gro is very big on the two Mashiachim issue. In other words, the first is Mashiach ben Yosef, who fights the wars. Rambam doesn't understand, of course. He only has one Mashiach. And then there's Mashiach ben David, who brings about the spiritual Geula. So here he's saying they're two separate things. Oz b'malka, ov yarem keren Mashiach. Let's see here. The Radak. The Radak is borrowed by the fact that kings are mentioned, because there are no kings at the time of Shmuel, at the time of Shmuel's birth yet. So he says that everything was a derech nevuah. Everything was a miracle, and that therefore she's mentioning all these, everything was a prophecy, and therefore she's mentioning all these things which are going to occur. And she mentions them in the context of her son Shmuel, because she knows Shmuel is going to be the one to anoint the kings, the first two at least, Shaul and David HaMelech. And the Rabbag also mentions the same thing. Okay, that's it for the Shira. Let's go further. Now, if you have a much larger, if you turn to the third page of the handout, much larger print. Great improvement. Fast improvement. Pasuk Yirav, which was the could have used for the last two psukim as well. By the way, my notes are on the last page, and they pick up here. Okay, Hashem Yichasu Mirivayelech Elkona Ramosa. Elkona went home to Ramah Abeso, to his house. But Nariyah Mishoyitz is Hashem. However, Shmuel remained to serve God as Pnei Eliyah Cohen by serving in front of Eliyah Cohen, who was, of course, the Cohen Gadol, and the Nasi at the same time. So the question which the Rambam asks is, why is Elkona alone mentioned in this pasuk, not Chana? Chana also went home with the Ramah after leaving Shmuel off there. And the Rambam answers that the pasuk is trying to emphasize that normally who's in charge of chinuch? Father. So here Elkanah left that job. Who took over that job instead? Obviously Eli. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Elkanah's out of the picture, at least temporarily. Eli takes over as the mechanech of this young child. Uvnei Eli, the children of Eli, b'nei Belial. They were evil people, bad people. I've always found that term fascinating. What does Belial mean? I think literally also, what?
The yoke.
Bli'ol, you're learning. Without a yoke. That's a nice pshat. Yeah, what does he say?
Unscrupulous.
Unscrupulous, very bad pshat. That doesn't take the etymology of the word into account at all. But I was thinking that it means, I always thought it means, although I don't, can't bring explicit proof of this, bli'ol, those who are not going up to Shamayim, to Olam Haba. They have no aliyah, they have no connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu to ever achieve Olam Haba.
Is this a criticism of Elkanah?
Excuse me?
Is this a criticism?
No, you mean Pasuk Yud Aleph or Pasuk Yud Beis?
No, Yud Beis. In other words, once you learn Pasuk Yud Aleph the way you learned it...
Yeah. Or why leave by Eli?
You left them. You left your educational... You paid your tuition to Eli, and look what a great job he did with his kids.
All right, Nebuch, you know, a lot of mechanchim Rosh Hashiva are not successful with their own kids. So, you and it could be, it's an interesting idea, but I don't think so. Nice try. That does actually say that. Okay, very good. The Radak here is important. Because there's a very strong condemnation in the pasuk. It says, Lo Yadu Es Hashem, they didn't know God. So what does it mean, Lo Yadu Es Hashem? So he says, the Radak says that they said, Ein Malchus B'Shamayim. There's no kingship in heaven.
They were
kofrim. Right? They were kofrim, right. That's what it sounds like from the Radak. That's not exactly what the Targum says, though. The Targum says, Lo Havu Yadim L'Mitchal Kodem Hashem. They didn't know how to fear God. Which is not the same thing. The Radak makes them apikorsim. But the Targum says they didn't fear God. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. In the meantime, let's describe their sin. Umishpat, the Malbim identifies five components to the sin. Umishpat HaKohanim Esa'am. There was A. The first sin is, this is a new law which the Kohanim themselves made up. This is not something written on the books of the Torah. What is what law they make up? Kol ish zoveach zevach, any individual brought a sacrifice to the Mishkan, Vanara Kohen, a young lad of Kohen. Now, according to most Mepharshim, that's the sons of Eli. Chofni and Pinchas were their names. According, however, to the Malbim, they didn't actually go and do this thing. They sent little Kohanim, young lads, in the Beis HaMikdash to do it for them. In any event, what did they do? What was the bad thing? Kivasher Abasar, they were, when the meat was about to be cooked, Vamazleg, he would take, each one of these Kohanim would take a fork, Sholosh HaShinayim, with three teeth in his hand. So, Sholosh HaShinayim obviously is much more than they were supposed to receive. They're supposed to receive just the Chaz of Ashok, the breast, and the thigh of Korbanos. But here, they're obviously out for much more. That's why they took a much larger tooth in order to do that. A tooth, a much larger fork, which had three teeth on it. What do they do with these large forks? Plus a gidal. They hit into the pot, or cures a large pot, or a dude, or a smaller pot, or a kalachas, or an even smaller pot, whatever they cook the korban in. They cast their forks in there. Oh, by paru, an even smaller pot. Anything they could pick up with a fork, yikach ha-kohen, the kohen would take. Kohen bo, the kohen would take with that fork. That's what they would do to all Jews. So here there are two additional components in Avera. First of all, that they did it b'derech b'zayin. They did it without, not just b'derech b'zayin, not just in a degrading way for kachim, but they did it in a way that it came out at random what piece they got. It wasn't the chaz of a shok that was intended to them by the Torah, but whatever they could just stick their forks into, that's what I got. They got. Besides that, they caused a tremendous chil Hashem. Obviously, it's a magnificent chil Hashem, magnificent, a terrible chil Hashem, because all the Jews, Kol Yisrael, were underneath this issue, this avera of taking the meat improperly. Now, sometimes it even went so improper, says Pasuk Desbav, Gamaterim Yakirnes Achelev, even before the Kohanim would sacrifice the fats on the Mizbeach. Vanar Kohen, the young lad, the Kohen would come. Vamar Lishon Zevet, and say to the person who's making the sacrifice, Tno Basa Litzos HaKohen, give me, this is right before all the necessary rituals were performed with the Korban, although it was dead already, obviously. So he says, give me some of the meat, in order that I should be able to roast it. V'lo yikach mimcha basar mevushal, he doesn't want cooked meat, imchai, but rather live meat, raw meat, because he obviously wants to, he wants to make himself, right? Which is usher. Why? Not because it's raw. We'll have to take raw meat. But because they took it before that Kravasi Murim. Before the parts of Kravasi which is supposed to be in the Mizbeach were brought to the Mizbeach. So even the Jew, the regular Jew, this is epis wrong. There's something going on here. Vayome lava yish, the person who's brought the korban would say, Kater yakdun kayom achelev, take it easy, give me a break. Later on today, they'll sacrifice the chelev. Then v'kach l'cho asher taven avshech, take whatever you want. Amar lo, he said, no. This emissary of the kohen would say, ki atotitein, I want you to give right now. Vimlon, if not, v'kachdi v'chos korban, I'm going to take it with force, right. So this is yet another avera. They were willing to use force. In other words, they tried to do what they could within the confines of the rituals of the Beis HaMikdash. When they couldn't meet those criteria, they just threatened, to use force. They were big bullies. However, there's a very strange pasuk, the next pasuk. Vati chatas anorim, the sin of the young lads was very great. Gedol modus b'nei Hashem. It was very great vis-a-vis God. Ki natu anoshim es minchas Hashem, because the men degraded the sacrifices, the menachos literally brought to God. So what happened here? Chatas nurim sounds like come on, it's not a big sin. Children. They're acting like children. Jealous or gluttonous children. Yet at the same time it says, at the end of the pasuk, ki niatzu anashim es minchas Hashem, that they blasphemed and they shamed in all sorts of ways the sacrifice of Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's going on here? Was it a major sin or was it a minor sin? So the Malvin Taka says a very interesting thing. He says there were two people who were sinning here. There were the Arim, the agents, who were sent out to collect all this meat. Their sin was minor. But the people in charge, their sin was major. Why was their sin major? because they designed the whole plot. They were the mastermind behind it. So who was the mastermind? Hophni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli. So since they were the mastermind, they are niyatsu anashim. They were on a much higher level of sin, or much lower level of sin, depending on your perspective. In any event, that's the Ma'abim. But I want to show you here Reb Tzadok. Let's turn now, in order to see this Reb Tzadok. Let's see two Reb Tzadoks. Turn, I didn't put page numbers today. Page which has Rassisi Lila on the top. Good stuff.
First one.
It always has a Chavdalet in the... in the second column. Okay, this is a very, very fundamental Reb Tzadok. Hasedo Shiyasar Hashem Yitzbarach B'Briya. The way God arranged the Briya is Bereshit Hashoracha, first there must be darkness, only afterwards Bahadur Nahora. Only afterwards can there be light. And Rabbi said that means that there must be sin, there must be evil, there must be darkness, and only after all that can there be light. Why would you say it can only be light after great darkness?
Why must there be light after
darkness? No, why must there be darkness before the light? What? Right, why does it have to be that way theologically? What? Why does it have to be a read Amin Asmalos? You're identifying the issue. Well, why is that there? Right, it can't be appreciated properly. You can't have any appreciation unless there's proper contrast. So therefore, that's be darkness always before light. That's one reason. Another reason is, who's supposed to bring light to the world? Nope. Mankind, right, all Jews, right? Or mankind in general. So therefore, that's part of our purpose in this world, to bring the light into the world. That's true about all the years of the world. No light is revealed except from the darkness which preceded it. For instance, they had to come out of Egypt. Until the point they were so involved in the sins in Egypt that it was almost as if they were completely assimilated. So too, the Beis HaMikdash was built only after the Plishtim, later in our Sefer, stole the Aron and later gave it back to us. So Efek Lagamri, which is the opposite, the Plishtim are the opposite of Kedusha. But Goyim was that what caused that? Chepnei Eli. How did they get the Aron in battle? That's going to be the next parak, is because the sins of Eli sinned. And, Rumamash, the sins of the children of Eli were like the sins of Nadav Avihu. What did Nadav Avihu do? What did they do?
They sacrificed
the Torahs, which they weren't allowed to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, after God kills them, what does Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu say to Aaron in order to console Aaron?
What does Moshe Rabbeinu say or Aaron say?
Moshe. It's the death of Nadav and Avihu. Two words. Before that. Actually, might be after that. Words before that. Bikrovai Ekodesh. Now, this is a very weird thing. What does it mean, Bikrovai Ekodesh?
He's greater Kedusha by those who are close to him. In other words, those who are close to him are at greater risk. It's still your risk, and you're the only one still.
So you're learning Bikrovai Kodesh. No, it's okay, you're falling into my trap, it's good. So you're learning Bikrovai Kodesh. Bikrovai Kodesh means that through those who are close to me, I'll make particular judgment.
Right.
But the way you type to the pasuk, the meaning goes, it's almost as if it says bikrovai adun, or es krovai adun. I'll judge them. Yet Rashi precisely makes the point that it's much more than that. Rashi makes the point that it was necessary to have the death of Nadav Avihu in order to achieve a full Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash. Why in the world should that be true? Why does that have to be arranged that Nadav Avihu shall die in order that the Beis HaMikdash should be properly erected? Adra probably spoiled everything that day. And they went to drink, and how can they drink? Not of Aviyu, we're dead. They couldn't do anything. So why is not of Aviyu, why is it so significant? So the Tzaddik goes into this in great, great length. Not so great, but much more than we want to see today. Let's turn the second to last line in the second column. Actually, not the same column, the last column on the page. This is the matter of v'niklash b'kvodi. The Mishkan ikre mikdash. The Mishkan is called the mikdash. Sheyesh bo gam kedusha zu. It also has the sanctity. Shel midas hakavod of the honor of God, derech eretz and proper derech eretz. She yira zu. And this fear of God, who represents obviously all the powers in the world, yet Naaseh was created Aidei Mitzvos Nodav Aviyu, by the death of Nodav Aviyu. Shehedi Yerkdol is a great Yira. Kitchilas Belitas Kedusha Zu, because the original demonstration of this Kedusha, the Shechinos Yisborach Bekirvei B'nei Yisrael, that God's divine presence is with among the Jews, V'gayam Tumasam, and also in their Tumah, Holech Simcha, what? Holy, I'm sorry. Holy tzilcha v'tokev ava v'cheshek v'yiskarbus v'Hashem Yisborach. Also in their tumah, then this yira gives them a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a closeness to God. V'zeu inyan. Now, listen to this carefully. V'zeu inyan. This is how we can explain. Shesuye yayin nichnesu. It says that Nodav Aviyu went into the Mishkan drunk. Perush, what does that mean, drunk? B'simcha yisei, with overwhelming simcha. Ki yayin yisamach l'lav enosh, because wine makes a person happy. That's no good. The Beis Mikdash is supposed to be happy?
They're not supposed to drink wine.
We're supposed to be happy?
Yeah.
No.
In the Beis Mikdash? Not
overtly.
Oh. You're not celebrating.
Right. You're supposed to covertly be enjoy that you're in the Beis Mikdash. But now it comes out a very interesting thing. That although he's supposed to be, let's see it inside. Zayin shesuyai nichlesu peish b'simcha, he said they came with overmuch simcha. Ki yayin sal, because yayin makes you happy. V'roshitvu ayira ima. What was the problem? They weren't Yirei Shamayim. They were great,
also,
great lovers of God.
But it was also direct.
Granted, but he's explaining the theology behind that. Right, it was a transgression. No. Not true. That command was afterwards.
Afterwards?
Shtuyayin was afterwards, yeah.
After the incident,
not above you. But listen to what Rav Tzadok says. He says that none of you love God so much. I can say this here safely, I think. They're chassidim. They wanted to come and, you know, rejoice, farbring, have a great time in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a grand, very noble idea. Go overstep the bounds. Have to have yira. Beis Elokim Nahalech Beragish. We go to Kosh Baruch's house, we have to be careful. We have to go, you know, seriously. Humbly, but not just humbly, knowing whom we're in front of, and not to go overboard. Now, Beragish means with feeling. Regish, I think. No? Multitude? How does Ragish mean multitude? No, they look so enticing. I'll have a red. Shkreach.
It's very good.
Plus, it's straight from Eretz Yisrael. Now, it brings riots from this. They are good. K'moshar Muzal, like Azal say, Agam Kain, the Kfar Nigzar Lehmi Koidim. There was already decreed, if you remember your Rashi, Rashi and Chumash says, it was already decreed upon them previously that they're going to die when at the Har Sinai they had gone and they had seen God, or not God himself, but they had seen the Shechina and eaten and drank and had a good time. They had not enough derech eretz and yira before God. They had tokef. Why was that? Because they were at Matan Torah again. It was this monumental great time. It was like Simchas Torah and Purim all rolled into one. And they rejoiced with great joy.
I'm sorry.
The Hashem owes Lamo Yitain. they got aroused because God gave such strength to Israel. And it's over Od Yosef, Kedusha Mishkan, is especially aroused at the time of the Mishkan. Ella does his chilafia. In other words, when God came down and he was shochet in Klal Yisrael, they were so happy. They really wanted to do something demonstrating their zeal, fervor, and dedication before God. But Chazal say, Ella the ozit chilafia gankin or a mikdash. Yes. The two aspects of Tzadok says, beautiful word. What does Mishkan mean? What does mikdash mean?
Holy.
Holy. Something which is shachain with you, is close, right? Something which is kadosh, is separate from you. So there are two conflicting, paradoxical issues, paradoxical relationships towards God, which go on in the Mishkan and the Mikdash at the same time. There's Mishkan, God comes close to us, and there's Mikdash, which is, yeah, but you have to realize, there's a distance as well. Mishkan without Mikdash was not of an avil. If God is in our midst, let's go and have a great time with him. It doesn't work that way. There has to be not just Ava, but also Yira. So here too, well, let's go a little bit further here.
Also, everything else that you're saying, comes under one action that's going to
No, granted, but what motivated them? Granted.
They wanted to solve and in the confines of the and so forth. But Asher Letzibashem, this is not what you recommended to do.
We're just trying to understand why they're called Kedoshim. Call them Rishayim. They did something terribly wrong. Says the Tzadok, no, they're motivated L'Shem Shamayim. They did something L'Shem Shamayim. But they were lacking. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I need Kedoshim. Not just people are going to be happy that I'm there. No, I need also the Yira. Without the Myra, without the fear, the love is too much. Love has to be balanced. Has to be a medium. And then they didn't have that. And that's what he says. B'nikdash b'chvaydi, I have to sanctify it. I have to show my Kedusha. With these people who are a great level, very distinguished people. The Chol Mechabed as Hashem, whatever, is Mechubad Arabios, Umeach Hashem Gom with Galus Arzu. Since they caused this light to come down, the Midas HaKavod with Derech Eretz V'Yira, to know they need Kavod and Derech Eretz V'Yira, Kemosh Kozai says, there's Mikdash Yitiro, the Zeh Shaykh L'Shem Mikdash, specifically Mikdash, the holiness has to have be feared. Akenim Kuri Mechubadai. That's why they call Mechubadai. She Mechubadim Etz Hashem Yisbarach. They're honored by Hashem. Because Hashem Yisbarach Miskabed Al Yodam. Hashem Baruch Hu Taka Chief Kovat Hu Nodav Aviyu. By showing, just a minute, don't get too familiar. That's Bimoyer Mikdash. You have to know, Dalif Nehmi Atoh Emed. Important to know that. And here too, this is beautiful. V'chein Beis Eli, Amuzal, Chetam. You know, truth is, we do a few psukim more before we come back to this, because he's going to get into the other sin as well, which we didn't get to yet. But let me point it out here, before we get to the other sin. What were they doing? What were they eating?
The children of Eli.
Eli, yeah.
They were eating something which a portion which belongs to them, but the way they were going about.
No, first of all, they were taking too much, because it says they stuck in the fork with the too many prongs. But they were taking kachim. The way Rav Tzadok would look at this is, they really wanted to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had a great time in the Beis HaMikdash. They could be L'Shem Shamayim. Could be they taka loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they loved Korbanos, and they taka wanted to come close to Hashem by this experience. They could have gotten a barbecue somewhere else, but they wanted to have this closest to Hashem. But then the Targum is very good, because what does the Targum say? The Targum says, V'lo yavu yodin lemidchal kodem Hashem. They didn't know to have fear of God. They went and they grabbed and they chapped and they wanted to come close to Hashem. It's not, you can't do that. You have to have Moira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Especially here. Because by not having Moira of Hashem, they're causing this great Chil Hashem, which we'll see in a few minutes. The terrible Chil Hashem. You have to have also Moira, not just Ahava. This is something which I... A little bit in Yonah the Yoma. This is something which Rav Volba says. He says that frumkeit is a very bad thing. Why is frumkeit bad? What does frumkeit mean? It's religiosity. So Rav Volba says that a religiosity is a natural drive in a human being. Do you have a natural drive to be religious? Not just Jews. Every human being. And that's terrible. Is that not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something which is being done l'shem shamayim, not because of your inner drive to be religious, not because of your inner drive to be zealous. So how do you know if something is l'shem shamayim? If you have strike the proper balance between Ava and Yira. There's no one midah which defines this individual. This individual is so happy all the time. And so always rejoices by God, with God. But this individual is so morose all the time. He's always so introspective and so self-critiquing. Because any of those midas might not be, you know, those might be his natural religious drives expressing themselves. It's not necessarily a personality devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that really is what we're worried about. That somebody's going to be expressing something which wells up within them, which is them expressing themselves, as opposed to figuring out what Ratzon Hashem is at that moment. And had Nadav Aviv, like you said for a minute before, had Nadav Aviv stopped for a minute and thought, they would have realized this is not what to do. But they didn't think. They followed their fervor. Could be Bnei Eliyahu the same thing. Had they thought, it would have stopped. But they didn't. They followed their fervor, and that's what led to all these, the downfall of the house of Eli. Now, Kadaway, just to apply that, as I say in Yonah the Yoma, this is simply what happened to this murderer, killed Rabin Mosai Shabbos. The guy didn't go, I guarantee you, the guy didn't go to ask Rabbi Yoshi before he went to do it. He didn't even go to ask his local Orthodox rabbi in Herzliya. There's a person who distorted Judaism, made Judaism and some whacked out idea of Kedusha Saaretz an idol for himself. And he followed his own little Avodah Zarah. Right? His own little Avodah Zarah, where God spoke to him, allegedly. He alleged God spoke to him. I don't know which Avodah Zarah was, but some of his own personal God spoke to him. And attempted him to do this. This is not something which was done with Shem Shemai. Not something which was done with the Cheshbon. Something which was done with an over zeal in one direction. Oh, that is always bad. It could be sometimes that is motivated by Avos Hashem. It could be that through you something good will happen. Bottom line is it's an Avera. The bottom line is that not even of you lost their lives for such a thing. Let's go back to Bnei Eli. Let's go back to Psukim. But he asked.
Huh?
He asked.
He did ask before.
He went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe, didn't you teach us? Aboy la ram is kanoim pogimbo. So Moshe Rabbeinu.
He said he followed the din.
Yeah.
He was not cast in the way.
Pinchas. Right. He asked before he did it. He wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu b'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu. He asked. Okay, it's important to realize that he did ask before he did. Moshe said, oh, you remember the halacha, taka go and carry it out. But he asked before he did it. Okay, so that's what possibly up to now. Yudches, right. Ushmuel Mishraes is Pnei Hashem. Shmuel serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, the contrast is tremendous here. Shmuel Mishraes Pnei Hashem, these people forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it could be that the Taka was motivated by fervor in Avodas Hashem. But they forgot what it means to be Yodeas Hashem, to have Yiras Hashem, to be carefully consider all activities and not to go overboard. Shmuel was serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at his young age. Nar, he was very young. Chogar Eifad Bad, he was wearing a sig, but he was constantly wearing the garments, literally it's a linen apron, which was worn by people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acolytes in Avodas Hashem. Umi'il katon, and he had umi'il katon, one special garment, tasalima, which his mother made for him, va'alosalom yamim yamima, which she brought up with each and every year, va'alosasisha, when she came together with Elkanah, lizbach and zevach hayamim, to sacrifice the sacrifice, the yearly sacrifice in Shiloh. They came up, so he used to get the special garment. The Malbim, the Merodach says, It was like a yontif clothing. So Radak says she wouldn't leave it there during the year because then Shmuel would just get it dirty and ruin it. So she would bring it up with her when they came for yontif and then take it back home again. No, it was a lady. It was a lady, but they also had an avodah. They were shorim, shoarim, they were singing, they also did the gates, you know, they were home. He didn't do the actual avodah, no. That's not what we're referring to. But besides that, he was also getting schooled in Yediyas Hashem. That's how he became a prophet. We're going to speak about that later on, not this parak, the next parak, where it speaks about how Shmuel becomes a prophet. No, not to serve in that avodah. You're right, it sounds a little bit like that, but obviously it's not so, because he wasn't a kohen. 8 foot bud is not big day kuna. Not big day kuna, no. It's not. The according to the Malbim, the meal was not something like a yontif clothing. According to the Malbim, the meal was also like the ephod bud. It was some garment, I don't know exactly what it was, which people were specific for Avodas Hashem, which were the designated for Avodas Hashem they used to wear. Alright, let's do Pasuk Chaf. Berach Elias Elkanah, whenever Elkanah used to come up, Eli used to bless him, bless he showed his wife Chana. V'amar, he said, wow, you know, you guys, you have such great children like Shmuel. Yosem Hashem l'chol zera, may God give you more kids. Mina Isha is also from this woman. Tachas HaSheila, instead of Shmuel, or to make up for Shmuel, who you loaned, Asher Shor Hashem to God, V'ochli Mekom, and then they used to go back to their place after Yontif. Back to Elkanah city, the Radak says it was Elkanah city, Nachana, because Chana was from another Shevet. Well, that's not material. The bottom line is they went home and Shmuel stayed there year after year. Kipokan Hashem is Chana. In fact, it came to pass that God gave Chana this bracha. Vataran, she came pregnant. Vatelet Shlosha Bonim, she gave birth to 3 boys, Ushtei Bonos, and 2 girls. We don't know anything about them. Vaita Lanar Shmuel. Shmuel grew up Im Hashem. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Targum says he grew up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But obviously it means that he learned how to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sure it means meditation and Talmud Torah and all sorts of things which Shmuel got as he was there with the
Serving
Eli, right. Now we're going to come to the other sin. Veli Zokin wrote, Eli was very, very old. And he heard all that which his children was doing to all Klai Yisrael. This is a major cause celeb of the day. And that they would have, literally it means they would have relations with the women, Hatsovos, who would come in groups, Pesach Olmoed, outside the Olmoed to bring their korbanos. In other words, women, after they gave birth, were not allowed in the Mishkan until they brought a korban. So they would stand outside. And they would send their korbanos in to be done in the Mishkan. And somehow or another, according to Pashup Shah and the Pasuk, the children of Eli, they took advantage of these women, I don't know, they seduced them or whatever, and they had relations with them. It's a very, very damning Pasuk. Very, very terrible thing. So everybody knows the Chazal here. Chazal say it's not that they really had relations with them, but they weren't diligent in sacrificing their korbanos. And they couldn't go home and have relations with their husbands. And that's as if they had relations, the children of Eli had relations with these women. So, the Pasuk considers them as if they had relations. Now, the Malbim has a very interesting pshat here, beautiful pshat, based on the Chazal, different than all the other Mepharshim. All the other Mepharshim say, okay, they didn't really have relations as if they had relations, because they let the women stay there. But he says like this, listen to the way he learns the Pasuk, says, he heard what his kids were doing to all of Klai Yisrael. Why? Since they were not doing the korbanos in time, so the men and the women were camping outside the Mishkan, waiting till their turn would come. You know, like we'll have to wait for a rock concert. So they were waiting to get into the Mishkan. Well, what happens when people, men and women, are lying outside, bedding down overnight and waiting their turn? So some things went on. So not that Bnei Eli had relations with them, but rather, as Asher Yishkavun, the men and the women were all camped outside the Mishka waiting their turn. So Mela, there were things going on there. Men and women were having relations outside Ohel Moed because they were waiting all the time till they can get in to have their korbanos sacrificed. Okay, now, let's talk about however the chet of Bnei Eli here in greater detail. Let's go back to Reb Tzadok. The Tzadok says on that page again, "V'chein Beis Eli Amuz Al Chetam." Their primary sin, our ikar, was Bizayin HaKochim, and that they degraded the Kochim. Dasher Yishkumun, that which it says they had relations. Hainu Shashiu Kinein, they wouldn't sacrifice the women's korbanos on time. Tugan Kimitzad Bizayin HaKochim. This also was degrading to the Kochim, because they shouldn't have waited. They should have done it right away. They're holy, but however, as since they were punished for this, the holy Kedusha Samikdash. This brought about the Kedusha of the Beis Samikdash. In other words, this was a prelude. This was the darkness. The darkness of Nadav Aviyu was the prelude to the Mishkan. The darkness of the Bnei Eli is going to be the prelude to the imminent construction of the actual Beis Samikdash. Their punishment is going to be so great for their misplaced Taivas, which perhaps started out as Taivas L'Shem Shamayim, but then became Taivas lust for illicit purposes, that ultimately they are going to serve as the building block for the Beis HaMikdash. The darkness, for which the Beis HaMikdash is the place of the greatest manifestation of Mikdash, of the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will ultimately come about. Now, the truth is that their sin was a minor sin. She's Kichetam Nikra. Their sin is called the Chatas HaNa'arim. They're called, according to Tzadok, back then in that pasuk, they're the Na'arim. It was the Chatas HaNu. Surely Chatas is unintentional. Or Na'arim Mashmadu, Maisin Na'arim Tzavan. It sounds like it was just a baby, immature thing. V'ayinu, why? Ki b'narus, in a person's youth, yesh lo'adam tokev ava, he has a tremendous love, the simcha and joy. Kolech lefi darko b'nyonav, each one in his own way and his own manner. V'ayinu Hashem b'narus, and a person worships Hashem in his youth, avodasa b'simcha yisera. He has a great joy, a special joy. Like it says that Shlomo said Shir Shirim in his youth, when he was still, you know, very much involved in love and in joy. This is true about the world in general. Avraham Avinu Alav Hashalom, who Aschala was the first of, he was the great love. And because they had such great love and dveikus, they wanted to connect to Hashem, the children of Eli. So Moli Miut Yira, they didn't have enough Yira, but their cheretz and proper respect. Until it came out as if they were degrading the kachim. The kibulon sham, and they got a similar punishment. Dugras Nadav Aviyu to Nadav and Aviyu, Dugram Shvias Aron, and their Aron, the Aron was taken to captivity as a result of them. Shudugmas Chum Beis HaMikdash, if the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. And he's going to explain later on, although we'll have to leave it out for today, why, how the punishment of the house of Eli suits their crime. We're not going to get to it tonight, so we'll leave it for tonight. But another important thing what Rav Tzadok says here, which since it's late, I'm not going to show you inside, although it is photocopied on the next page, is Rav Tzadok says, you know what? Of course they didn't have relations with the women. But by causing these delays, they had thoughts. They had hurray avera. Because they were involved with the women, they didn't do it properly. People, they knew their complaints, and they had thoughts of avera. So since they had thoughts of avera, the pasuk considers them as if they were involved in the avera. Nonetheless, says Rav Tzadok, it was a minor sin. They didn't have the avera, they had thoughts, okay? Thoughts are bad, but not that bad. But as we mentioned in the past, this was a transition period. Who was waiting in the wings? Shmuel. Things were in a major balance now. When things are in a major balance, even a minor sin can wreak havoc, can change things dramatically. Not only that, but Shmuel to us is going to come to represent the ultimate in Yiras Shamayim. Of course, we haven't seen that yet. We've just seen the glimmerings of it. But Shmuel was there, and he was living in Pashtus, and he was living in dedication. But But this is going to snowball. We're going to see more and more of that as time goes by. So even the slightest sin of taiva, of misplaced ahava, of misplaced drives of that sort at this point in time, has devastating ramifications for the house of Eli. Because look who's there, Shmuel. And we know that this is a time of transition. Potential, the great things are about to happen. We're going from one period, the period of the Zakenim, to the period of the Nevi'im. And this will become more clear in the next parak. This is a time when things are very, very sensitive. The least misstep, which happened at the house of Eli, brought them all tumbling down. And Eli saw this happening, but he couldn't do anything about it. Let's just do a couple of more psukim. Vayomalem, he said to him, Lama tasun katvar mele, why are you doing these things? The Bible says, the Pesach HaVikim says, listen, I don't know if the rumors are true or not. If you're doing them, Asher nochi shameh, everything I hear is divrechim aroim, etzel meitz kol mazeh, all the bad things I hear about you from this nation, stop. And even if you're not doing them, you must be doing something wrong, and therefore change your ways. Abonai, stop my children, or do not do it anymore. Kilo tova shmua, maybe it's not true, but the rumors are not good. Asher anochi shomea, which I hear by Virim Amashem, that they're passing in the nation, among the nation of the nation. In yechto ish leish, he says, if a man, According to the most impression, this is Eli's rebuke to them. According to the Maamin, this is part of the rumor. This is part of what Eli heard. But the pasuk has more or less the same shot regardless. In yachta ish liish, if a man sins against another man, upilo Elohim, then he'll be judged by court. Here Elohim means a human court. But if a man sins against God, if you're sinning against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's going to, two interpretations here. One, who's going to daven for him? The other interpretation is, who's going to stand to advocate him? It's very, very dangerous what you're doing. You won't find any defense. However, they didn't listen to their father. Why not? Because God wanted to kill them. What? They, in the future, they didn't listen to that. I mean, they listen. I'm not sure. I don't know. You're right. I don't know why it says Leishmu. But all the Mepharshim say here, this is one of the cases in which God deprives human beings of Bechira. They lost their free will. It was part of their punishment. Remember by Paro? By Paro, God, by Yichbar Hashem, a slave Paro, he lost his free will so God can punish him. It doesn't just happen to Goyim. It happens to Jews too. Most of them say here the people, the children of Eli, lost their b'chira. They no longer had their b'chira because Hashem wanted to punish them. They had gone too far. The chilul Hashem they caused, the desecration of the Mishkan, the desecration of the Kachem was too great. That's it. The Rabbah goes through several reasons of the desecration of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, as I said. The Malbim doesn't go that far. The Malbim says he didn't deprive them of free will, but he deprived them of Siyata Dishmaya. Normally a person can have the potential, one more minute. Normally the person has a potential to do tshuva. And Hashem helps him to do tshuva. He sends him thoughts of tshuva, he sends him guilty conscience, things like that. At some point Hashem no longer sends you those messages. And then it's much harder for you to do tshuva. And that's what happened here. It's not that he completely deprived them of the bechira, of their free will, but they were deprived of the normal messages which Hashem said subconsciously to an individual, and that's why they were not going to do tshuva, because God wanted to kill them, because they had created such a chilul Hashem. And of course, Vanar Shmuel Holech VeGadol VeTov Gamim Hashem VeGamim Anoshim. Because look at the contrast. We have Shmuel, the young child. Yes, he's also a nar. They're narim, and they did the immature thing. Well, you look what kind of a nar you could be. A Shmuel, who was good and growing, and everybody liked him, both Hashem and mankind. And now, next week, we'll see how the house of Eli was severely punished.